Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the seventh chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus seems to have a real problem with tradition, doesn't he? These traditions of the elders. And he's really bugged by it. Really ticked off about tradition. He calls them hypocrites for holding to these traditions. But what's wrong with tradition? Tradition's good. We've all got our traditions, don't we? Pretty much everything surrounding this church has to do with tradition. The fact that you're sitting where you're sitting and I'm standing where I'm standing and this stuff is over here, well, that's all tradition, right? This church has been here for over 125 years in this place. Could have been moved somewhere else. Not that many years ago, there was that opportunity. But this congregation chose to keep this place here. To keep it part of that tradition. What's wrong with that? We have traditional worship, don't we? 3 weeks of the month. Right? And even our non-traditional worship that we're having today is, in fact, for us, a tradition. We have it every fourth and fifth Sunday when we have fifth Sundays, right? We honor these traditions. We embrace these traditions. We enjoy them. I don't see anything wrong with tradition. You know, for the last 4.5 years, as I've driven down this road and I've come into this parking lot, that tradition for me has helped me set aside the things of the world that were going on out there and focus myself on worshiping the Lord. And when I would walk into this space and I would get this sense of awe, coming in this, my tradition of coming into this space, this traditional space, has made me feel a little closer to God. How about you? I'm sure for many of you that's true as well. So what is Jesus' problem with tradition? Truth is, Jesus doesn't have a problem with tradition. What Jesus has is a problem with sin. Bet you didn't think that, huh? This text isn't about tradition. It's about sin. Let me explain. What Jesus is referring to here are the traditions of the elders. Okay? This is important. But he's not talking about just any tradition here. He's talking about the traditions of the elders. And by the way, these elders aren't that elder. We're only talking about within 100 years of when Jesus is speaking here. That's how old these traditions of the elders was at that point. And this particular tradition that got the Pharisees and the scribes all worked up. This idea of having to wash your hands before you eat and wash your dishes and clean up around, you know, with the... Well, we have tables now. They had dining couches. That's what got them all worked up. The disciples weren't washing their hands. Kids, wash your hands. This is important. I'm not telling you don't wash your hands. This is important. Jesus isn't telling you don't wash your hands. Wash your hands before you eat. Why? Because if you don't, you may just get food poisoning, right? Why do you wash your dishes? Because if you don't, you may just get food poisoning. Why do you wash your table and your chairs and stuff like that? Because if you don't, you're likely to sit in something that's really disgusting. Am I right? There's good reasons for that tradition. So wash your hands. There was actually good reasons for this tradition from the elders, too. You see, this tradition emerged as the world of the Jewish people was dramatically changing. They had always seen themselves as a people set apart from God. And their ritual codes of purity kept them separate, kept them set apart for God. But they lived in a world where that was no longer possible. They lived in a world where they were surrounded by Romans, and by Greeks, and by Samaritans. And you never knew where their hands had been. They could have been touching anything. So how could you know if you remained ritually pure? How could you know that you were in fact set apart clean before God? So they came up with a tradition so that you didn't inadvertently eat something that was defiled, something that was impure by contact with someone else out there. So that you didn't, by accident, eat something and make yourself impure, you washed your hands. Well, and you went to the marketplace and you were getting stuff ready and you might have moved a pot. So you better wash the pot. Maybe you were tired when you got home from the marketplace and you had a seat before dinner. So you washed the couch. Right? Otherwise, how could you know? It makes good sense, doesn't it? This wasn't the only one. Jesus talks about one that you could take what you were supposed to give in honor to your parents and say, ah, this is Corban. This is devoted to God. So I don't have to give it to you. Believe it or not, there's a good reason for that too. It answers the question. Is it more important to honor your parents or to honor God? The There can be situations where these two are called into conflict. Which is more important? Honoring God or honoring your parents? There were others. I had some of my favorite ones. I got two absolute favorite ones. Because these traditions of the elders were actually there to help you keep the law. The law is hard to keep. You're always tripping up, making mistakes, sinning. So how do you keep from sinning? Well, Jesus' answer is, you can't. You cannot, by your works, be found righteous. Why? Because you can't keep the law. But you see, the elders, they had a different idea. They said, law is really hard to keep, but if we come up with rules and regulations governing all of our activities and we follow them faithfully, then we don't have the opportunity to inadvertently sin. And therefore, we will be righteous before God. We can be, in fact, saved by our works. This is what the traditions of the elders are all about. Here's one. In order to make sure you never violate the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They came up with a tradition. Don't ever speak God's word. Don't do it. Ever. Now in the scripture that they wanted people to read, his name was all over the place. Yahweh. Yahweh here, Yahweh there. Just filled with Yahweh. So how do you keep from reading Yahweh? Well, whenever they said, whenever you see Yahweh, don't say Yahweh. Say Adonai. In fact, the tradition was that only one person was allowed to speak the word Yahweh one time a year. The chief priest in the Holy of Holies. No one was allowed to say it otherwise. That way, you could never take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And 100 years after Jesus, some other scholars got together and said, you know what, people are forgetting this. We've got to make sure they remember. So they went through the text, and they were going and making sure people could read it anyway. They're putting little vowel markers in the text, right? And whenever they got to Yahweh, they said, ah, we need to give a reminder here so people don't say Yahweh. And they put in instead all the vowel markers for Adonai. So people would see it and say, aha, I remember, Adonai. And they don't, by mistake, say Yahweh. Well, several 100 years later, when Christians are looking at those texts saying, ah, these are the Hebrew texts, look at that. Look, there's God's name. And they don't know anything about these traditions of the elders. And they say, oh, those vowel markers there, that must be how to pronounce it. And they start calling God Jehovah, which is Yahweh with the vowels for Adonai. Weird, isn't it? In trying to keep from taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, what have they done? They have taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This one's my favorite. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Do no work on the Sabbath. But how do you know that you're not doing any work on the Sabbath? Well, you can only go so far from your house. If you go further than your house, further than whatever distance that is from your house, you're not just going for a stroll. You're traveling somewhere and that's work and you can't do that. So we have to have rules about how far you can go. And it started out by being, saying, okay, you can only go 2,000 cubits. That's half a mile from the city limits. That's as far as you can go. Or otherwise, you're traveling and that's work. And you can't do that. But then they thought, if I go 2,000 cubits, half a mile, And I put some food there and some stuff to make a meal there that technically I could call that my abode, my home. And I could go another half a mile. And I could do it again. And I could do it again. And because it's silly to say you could go only so far and then cannot go further because you've got to get back home, right? You can actually go twice that distance. See? There's a loophole. And I'm not working on the Sabbath. You could travel for miles and miles this way and not be traveling. You're just going for a stroll. These are the traditions of the elders. See, what's happening is they were so convinced that they could come up with rules to make it impossible for you to violate the law, that instead what they did is they gave you rules on how to violate the law. This is their hypocrisy. When they think that their tradition makes them righteous. When they think that their tradition keeps them closer to God. They have made a fundamental error. And they have embraced sin. This is their hypocrisy. What about you today? We have wonderful traditions related to Pioneer Lutheran Church. We have wonderful traditions that we have received, handed down to us over 500 years following the Reformation. We have wonderful traditions that have been handed down to us over 2,000 years. Do those traditions help or hurt? Well, that all depends on what you think about them. You can come here to Pioneer and get away from the troubles of the world. Come into this sanctuary, feel that sense of sacredness, that sense of awe, and feel a little closer to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just so long as you understand that coming here and coming into this space does actually nothing to make you closer to God. It might make you feel closer to God. But you're not actually any closer to God. There's nothing you can do to get closer to God because sin has cut us off. Sin has separated us. And no tradition, no work, no act on our part, no matter how well thought out, can ever change it. And to think that it does makes you, in Jesus' words, a hypocrite. Deserving of judgment. And Jesus pronounces that judgment when he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29. Do you want to hear that judgment against us sinners who put our trust in our works? He says it right here. And the Lord said, because this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, ready? Judgment time. I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. There it is. God's judgment for sin. Is He going to beat you down until you get it right? till you figure out the trick to follow the rules so that you don't sin, so that by your works you will be found righteous? No. No. God's judgment for sin is to work a wonder upon wonder. And that's what he did. He sent his son, who suffered and died on the cross, and 3 days later rose from the dead. He took that sin. He took all of those works that you think are so wonderful, and he took them with him to the cross. And he raised you up with him by grace. What is the wonder upon wonders? It's faith. It's faith. He has worked this wonder upon wonders for us so that he might once again do wonderful things with us. And this is why you're here. Not to feel closer to God. If you feel closer to God here, wonderful. But you're not any closer to God. For without faith, you are eternally cut off from God. With faith, with this wonder of wonders, you are closer to Him than you could ever possibly imagine. You come here to hear the Word of God, receiving that Word so that you are in fact drawn closer by Him to Him, and sent out to take that same Word so that with you He will work wonderful things in this world. That's why you're here. This is my last Sunday with you, and I'm very emotional. And I have been praying all week that the Lord would give me something to say to you today. And here it is. If you find comfort in your tradition, then hold on to it tight. If you feel closer to God through your tradition, then hold on to it tight. But never forget that your tradition doesn't make you closer to God. That only one thing brings you closer to God. That is the Word of God. And so, here's my prayer. That you would make the hearing of the Word of God your tradition. That you would make the sharing of the Word of God your tradition. I pray that God works in your heart and makes the Word of God your one true tradition. Amen. We will continue with our hymn of the day.